The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. Well, as you've noticed, today is a festival of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. They're everywhere. Actually, I was going to talk about something different, and I came into the hall this morning for morning service, and it's like, wham! I don't think so. Here they are. And they're not just on the altar, or there's a whole forest of them there. They're all over the place, all around. They're all around us. And this is not unintentional. Kanzeon, compassion, everywhere, all around us, in all the many different forms. They're all a little bit different. And each of these images has been made by somebody. Even when they've been mass-produced, somebody painted them or created them or drew them or whatever, however they made them. Somebody did that with veneration and faith, because you couldn't do that without having a heart for it. And they are venerated. Most of the statues on the altar have been lent by monks, and many of these images have been given to us, and with given with reverence. So there's a whole thing there. Avalokiteshvara, the manifestation of compassion, which is fundamental to Buddhism. Buddhism is kindness. Buddhism is compassion. Everybody recognizes Avalokiteshvara. Even people who aren't Buddhists kind of recognize that compassionate aspect and relate to it easily. So, who or what is Avalokiteshvara? Is she a being? Is she an aspect of Buddha nature? Is she an aspect of ourselves? Is she a she? Or is she a he? Or an it? Or a something else? Or neither? Or both? Well, I'd say yes, actually. To maybe all of these things, because we don't know. Compassion is limitless. No he, no she, no us and them, nothing outside us, nothing separate. All around us and within us is compassion. It's not something separate from us. And it appears in our lives in many, many different ways, which is why you have all these different forms, ways there's an aspect. There's Avalokiteshvara. There's a number of these, pouring out a water of compassion with this little tiny vase. I mean, you'd think it would be gone in a second, but no, it keeps pouring boundlessly because it comes through her. It's pouring through Kanzeon, the Bodhisattva of compassion, coming through. She doesn't hold on to it. She doesn't just have a little pack on her back and that's it. It keeps coming boundlessly. Riding the dragon. It's one of my favorites. I'm sure they're all over the place, but of course I can't see one right now. There she is, riding the dragon in some of these images. There's one. Dynamic. Standing still on this, riding the ups and downs of life, the sea of samsara underneath. Just standing there. Still. In the dark, there's one of her, him, it looks like more like a male Avalokiteshvara, sitting there in darkness with 1,000 hands and 1,000 eyes. Often compassion is found in the dark, it's not just when it's nice. Just sitting still, many of the images, she's just sitting there quietly on her rock, dressed in her white clothes and not doing anything special, just sitting there, or just standing there, seeming to do nothing. And then, with 1,000 hands and 1,000 eyes, eyes to see where help is needed and what kind of help is needed, and the hands to actually give the help. You need both. You can't just rush off and do something. Well, you can, but it doesn't always help. You want to see where the help's needed and what kind of help is needed, and then to be able to actually give the help, the hands. All these different forms to help beings in all different circumstances, in whatever form is needed. In the Lotus Sutra, there's a whole chapter about Avalokiteshvara and how she, he, it takes many, many different forms. The form of a monk, the form of a layperson, the form of a man, of a woman, of a child, of an animal, of a demon, all kinds of forms to help somebody, because there's no self there. It's not like I'm Avalokiteshvara and that's it. You know, it's just compassion taking whatever form is needed, just like water, filling the space that's needed without any kind of self or holding back or insistence on something. It's just compassion, the very antithesis of selfishness. It helps us to relinquish our selfishness, the practice of compassion. So what is compassion exactly? Well, it means to feel with. Some people say to suffer with, but I think to feel with is more close, because you're not just suffering with beings or you drown. You're feeling with beings, both in their sorrows and in their joys. You know, you weep in all the sorrows of the world and you rejoice in all the joys, and vice versa. You know, you rejoice in the sorrows of the world and weep in the joys. It goes back and forth because it all goes up and down. It's not as though it's only niceness, or everything is terrible. We go back and forth. We ride the dragon, the ups and downs of life. And compassion comes through all of it. So feeling with others, seeing them as not separate from us. They are not separate from us. We're all pretty much the same. We all have pretty much the same joys and sorrows and ups and downs and fears and worries and all that kind. To be patient and kind with people, not to be judgmental and critical, is just the most obvious and simple way of practicing compassion. Just not being judgmental about somebody when we don't like what they're doing. Well, maybe there's a reason for this, you know. Compassion for ourselves also, to treat ourselves also with patience and kindness, which is often much harder. We can be much more harsh with ourselves than we would with another person. And sometimes you might think, would I treat somebody the way I'm speaking to myself? Would I say that to another person? No. Well, maybe I can just be a little kinder to myself. Because it goes together. If we're kind to ourselves, we can be kind to other people. If we're critical to ourselves, we can be more judgmental with other people. It's not separate again. Judging other people, we're judging ourselves. And often we see in somebody else the very thing that we don't like about ourselves. Well, at least I don't do that, you know, but we do that. The scripture, Avalokiteshvara, that we chanted today, describes all these different situations we find ourselves in, both external and internal. And it shows us how to help ourselves in many of these different ways. I won't go into all of it. We have somebody who's much better at that in our very midst, and I won't. But one or two things. When you feel pushed into a fiery pit, you know, the fiery pit of anger. And if you think of compassion, that pit of anger can turn into a cool and silver lake. It can help us to let go of our anger, pour that cooling water of compassion, as it were, onto those flames. We can sit still and find compassion for ourselves being all angry, the person we're angry with, the situation we don't like, whatever it is that makes us fall into that fiery pit, to find compassion within it. Maybe there's something good in this. Maybe I can find something to help me. Maybe this other person has something going on that I don't know about, and they're not just there to make my life a misery. Maybe they're having a hard time too. To find compassion. Feeling imprisoned by circumstances, threatened by harm, struck by disaster or interminable pain. All these ways in which this scripture describes the things that happen to us, the forms of suffering. We can turn our heart to compassion and our suffering is eased. The situation might not go away right away, but our suffering is eased because we're not judging so much or getting angry or judgmental or critical about whatever it is. How can I find compassion within this situation? So we have all these different forms of compassion around us to point that out to us. You know. And this doesn't mean we don't do anything when there's difficulties. Oh, I just had to be compassionate and it'll all be fine. Sometimes we have to act, to do something. But at least if you can find some compassion in there for ourselves, the situation, other people, we suffer a lot less, and we might be able to act more wisely because we're not so afraid and angry. So how do we do that? How do we nurture compassion so that we can find it when we need it? Regular practice of meditation every day. Simple, wonderful, hard to keep up unless you're really motivated. When we're suffering, we tend to be much more keen to, oh yes, I'll meditate every day because I'm suffering. When things get a bit better, you tend to slacken off. What can happen? But if you can just keep sitting still amidst the ups and downs of life, when there are dragons up in the sky and down in the water, to sit still, no matter what's happening, to do our best, sit still with kindness and compassion, then it helps a whole lot. And even if we feel our meditation practice is not very good, it still helps us. It's amazing. It helps us anyway. Whether we think we're meditating well or poorly, it's just a judgment. Just to keep doing it every day. It's life-changing. Practicing the precepts. The three pure, simple precepts we can remember. Cease from evil, i.e. cease from doing harm. Do any good. Do good for others. We can remember those. The 10 come out of those, and sometimes you might lose track of one or two of them, but there's those three. Cease from evil, do any good, do good for others. We can remember those. And it's, again, life-changing when we try to keep to the precepts, to stop doing harm, which is what part of what they're for, to live as a Buddha would live, because that's how a Buddha would live, to cease from evil, do only good, do good for others, to help beings, to help ourselves. Working on our mind, seeing where things come up and working on them, purifying our heart, seeing where we're getting angry or critical or even just a little bit irritated, or why am I finding fault with everybody today? Is it really them? Is everybody actually doing awful things? Or could it be me? Could it be me just being irritable? Maybe I can give them a break, lighten up, find a little compassion for myself as well. Maybe I didn't sleep, maybe I don't feel well, maybe something has happened. But to see ourselves when something starts to upset us and to relinquish our grip on our view. It might not go away immediately, but we're not clinging on and nourishing our anger or our resentment or our fear or whatever it might be. Just to see it, to recognize it. Oh, I'm getting upset. Be careful. This is hugely helpful because so often we can get just carried off with our fear, anger, whatever, and not realize, think, how did I get over here? If you see it coming, we can do something. Just sit still with it. Take a breath. Seeing our selfishness. We all have selfishness. And that's at the basis of most of our suffering. Causes suffering to us, causes suffering to other people. And again, if we can see it coming up and recognize it for what it is, then we can see what's actually best to do, not just what I want, and act more wisely and more kindly. But seeing our selfishness, that we have selfishness, all of us do, and to recognize it. We have to have selfishness, otherwise we couldn't function. We have to know, this is the mouth I feed. This is the person I dress. And yet, to also be aware that we are all part of one being. We're all connected. We're all in this together, as it were. It's not just me against the world. That's a miserable suffering. And you can't have compassion when you're constricted like that. Because compassion is boundless. It's limitless. It's permeable, it permeates our skin so we're not separate from other beings. To see that selfishness without judgment, just to see it for what it is, then we can see it more clearly and act wisely, as I said. When we're judging ourselves for being angry, selfish, mean, whatever it is, but when we're judging ourselves, we can't have compassion. We're all imperfect. We, as well as other people, we all make mistakes. We're all prone to fear and anger and selfishness and greed. But maybe we can find a little kindness for ourselves and for other people when we mess up or they mess up, or when we're about to make a mistake, or just be careful, you know. Acts of simple kindness. Kindness to a homeless person or an angry person or somebody we don't much like, somebody we may be afraid of, to treat them with kindness. Can you imagine treating someone with kindness whom you're scared of? Well, actually, maybe they're scared too. This often happens. Somebody we're afraid of, they'd be afraid of us, or they're afraid of something else. We don't know. We don't know what motivates other people. But if we can just practice a little kindness, give them a break, that can really help. Generosity of heart, really, of just seeing the best in people, giving them the benefit of the doubt. And the more we practice meditation, keeping to the precepts, the more we practice kindness, the more compassion can grow within us, and the less we suffer as well. Fearlessness. Compassion is also an aspect of fearlessness. Everybody has fear, again, part of our human condition. It's just it's wired into us one way or another. But if we can practice compassion, it helps us to let go of that or to keep moving within it. Even when we're scared, we can keep moving. And it helps other beings too. If we're willing to sit still in the midst of a frightening situation, other beings can do that too. It really helps. It helps us, helps others. Sitting still in the midst of all conditions, whether they're external conditions or our own fearful mind, to sit still in the midst. Again, Avalokiteshvara, riding the dragon. It doesn't look easy to do that, but there she is, perfectly balanced. Balanced on that dragon, on the wild waves of karma. Keeping going, you know. The many things that happen in our lives, to remain still as best we can, to keep going. She's still, and yet, she also needs to move with the dragon. You can't ride a horse if you're sitting like a stone. You've got to move with the horse. Riding the dragon, I would not have, I've tried it yet, but I think it'd be pretty much the same thing. You've got to actually move. You can't stand like a, you know, statue. You've got to move with it. And yet, the stillness within that movement, stillness within activity, moving with situations, moving with circumstances, moving with the things that happen to us. Sometimes I need to do this, then I might need to do that. There's no perfect blueprint. And we can still do our best to sit still within the things that happen to us, within the conditions of our lives. When we fall off the dragon, just get back on. Hopefully it'll wait for us. Just get back on and keep on going, not to think we've wrecked everything. Okay, we make mistakes, we fall off the dragon, we fall off the horse, we make a mistake, we blow up at somebody or something. How can I repair that? How can I do something better than that? How can I learn to ride my dragon better? When something bad happens to us, when we're ill, or somebody else we love is ill, or maybe dying, or we're ill, or we're dying, it will happen. Or something, other things happen to us. We lose all our money, or we lose our job, or you know, all kinds of things happen to us. Just be still within that, to do our best to accept it, and to find compassion right in that very circumstance. It helps us to accept it and deal with it and to learn from it. The very difficulties can help us. They get our attention, help us to see what's really important. Sometimes it happens that somebody all of a sudden gets sick or has an accident and they have to stop and take a look at where they're going. And I've known many people have had this happen. There they are going on with their life and wham, something happens. Oh my goodness, what am I doing with my life? I could die. Do I want to die like this? No. And they use that situation, use that difficulty to help them to refocus their effort or their intention. What is really important in life? Is it important that I get money or that I get successful or that I do all those things? Or is it better that I just do my best to practice kindness? And so many, many people find that just simply practicing kindness is the most important thing they can do, practicing kindness to themselves and to other beings. And from that kindness comes wisdom. So, this is why we have all these images all around us. They're there all the time, whether we see them or not. Compassion is all around us, all the time, whether we see it or not. Sometimes it's a kind word from somebody on a bad day. Sometimes we give a kind word to somebody, even though we're having a bad day. Or something works out well, something we're afraid of, worked out just fine. Sometimes it's a thump to get our attention. That's his job. Ajahnanatha over there, he's an aspect of Kamsayon, of compassion. So when we go around, I always bow to him too, because he's part of the compassionate nature. Sometimes, as I said, something difficult happens, and it's actually really helpful to us. It gets our attention, and we can do something. We receive compassion, we can give compassion. It comes through us all the time, just like Avalokiteshvara with a little tiny vase. It just pours through us all the time when you give it half a chance. Don't bung it up. Just let it pour through. It's not ours, it just comes through. When we treat people with kindness, or we let go of our judgment and hold back that critical word, or the critical thought, because that makes a difference too. It's not just words and actions, it's also our thoughts. Generosity of thought. When somebody cuts us off on the freeway, not to think bad thoughts about them or swear at them, but just think, well, maybe they need to get there quicker than I do. Who knows? Just give them the benefit of the doubt. Then we don't have to get all upset. When you do that, we're letting compassion come through, even in these little tiny ways, and it helps us and it helps other beings. The thousand hands and the thousand eyes. Do you see where help is needed? And to give that help as is wise and appropriate. We're not going around looking for special ways to be compassionate. Okay, I'm going to be compassionate today. What can I do? It just comes up naturally, you know, all the time. But to see where we can just say hello to somebody or be kind to somebody who looks like they're having a bad time. You know. Or even if they're not having a bad time, just be kind anyway. Doing our best with what comes our way in action, speech, and thought. It's not easy living in this world. If somebody said, life is so hard, how could we not be kind? You know? And sometimes it seems particularly hard right now. Every time I do a talk, it seems like I find myself saying, things are really hard at the moment, they're getting worse, and then they get worse. But maybe they're not getting worse, or maybe they're not all getting worse. There are some things that are getting better. People are trying to help. There are many, many people trying to help our world. They're just a bit less obvious. Every year, there's somebody who collects 99 good things that happened this year, puts them on the internet, and, you know, better healthcare around the world. Usually a sort of global thing. Fewer children dying of disease. Good, you know. Things like that. There are good things that are happening, but sometimes they don't make the news. So we can get discouraged, but we don't have to be. And we don't have to feel helpless, if sometimes we do. Oh my goodness, we're doing nothing about climate change. This is awful, you know. Or whatever it might be. We can do something. We can help where we can. We can do our own little bit. We can recycle our plastic bags and all that. And we can practice kindness. Kindness to beings, kindness and compassion in all these little daily ways. And this helps more than we can know. We know what it's like when somebody just does a little kind thing for us. It changes the whole day. And that person may not even be really aware of it. They just do a little thing and then go on their way because it's what you do. And I'd like to be like that. Just somebody who is just automatically, well, without thinking about it in a sense, does the kind thing by default and doesn't make a big deal out of it, but just to live with that sort of heart of kindness, the breath of kindness, breathing in and out, compassion. I'd like to be like that. The power of compassion, it's like water. It's soft and gentle, and it is irresistible. And it takes whatever form is needed, you know. And we can let it flow through us, and flow out to all beings, flow into us, through us, let it come forth. Don't bung it up, and it will help everybody. And that's our talk for the day.